the Ijtima, which is going to take place in Camperdown this weekend, where we know. And so many things are coming more to light, which we had no idea about. Ulama of India, various ulama, alhamdulillah, Allah opened the way, and the discussions that we heard of there, that for some time ago, Maulana Saad is not one or two of the wrong things, over 157, one alim mentioned. One alim between 150 and 200 wrong things that he's mentioning. And an ongoing way. He's not stopping anywhere. Till this very moment, it is an ongoing thing. So with this wrong that is happening, if a wrong was happening in our country, a big, like Allah make maaf, what is happening in Saudi, all this music concerts and all the other filthy things, some musician, and what is the music? Ayats of the Quran. What terrible things. Where have we read? Hey, so all these things, if that happens, we can't support it in any way whatsoever. And if it was some nudity show, you can't support it. This is worse than that also. Where the honor of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is attacked. The honor of the Sahaba, the honor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And not one, two times, over and over again. And no Tawbah. Tawbah which is can't be called Tawbah in any way. That is happening all the time. And then somebody says that encourages the people that it's a dini ijtima, so all must go. And what is the criteria of all must go? That people from 150 countries will be coming. And the organizers of the ijtima, they also said originally 150, they have downgraded it to 100 countries. So anyway, that is no criteria of attending. That all the 200 countries of the world's people, if they are also coming and the heads of states are coming, that is our reason of doing anything. First is Quran Sharif, otherwise Hadith Sharif, otherwise consensus of the ulama, of the righteous, pious ulama, their consensus. Otherwise by analogy, by comparison with similar cases. Those are the four. So by 150 countries people coming is no proof and is no reason to attend. And neither is it that it is being a historical event. That is also, if that occasion is of deen and the talks of deen, but today it is not really of deen, but to establish the imarat, what they call Amirul Mu'mineen fil alam. The Amirul Mu'mineen in the world to establish his imarat for that reason. And just today now, one brother of Camperdown also had written that the Jamaat that are coming and how the local people, Camperdown is a very small place, very small Muslim community, how they are taxed to feed the people. Unhappily, they are like forced to do it. So all that complaints of those people and what the conditions are. So those are no reasons whatsoever. Then we find some people, they feel still that this is a power struggle between the Shura and the Imarat group. So the very names of Shura and Imarat proves that there is no power struggle. Imarat group wants Imarat. That Maulana Saad, he claims that he is the Amir and his people support him. And on the other side, the Shura people are not claiming Imarat at all. They haven't made any indication in the least but that they want to become Amir. But in fact, the opposite, they insist must run by Shura. And in Shura, you don't claim Amir, you don't claim you're an Amir. So there is nothing, these people who just want to mislead the people or whatever, they say it is a power struggle. There is no power struggle. Power struggle was like in the difference the ulama had in Darul Uloom Deoband, that which group must run the affairs of Darul Uloom or Mazahirul Uloom in Saharanpur. Yeah, there is no power struggle. So that is completely wrong. Another thing they say, that only the ulama of South Africa are opposed to Maulana Saad. Otherwise, the rest of the world are with him. There can't be a more bigger lie than that. And totally, which is clear, it is absolutely nothing like that. outside India, Bangladesh was a strong supporter. But the ulama, Allah reward them, he took a very strong stand when he was going to come at one time, and they knew all his wrongs and what he's promoting. They made a human barricade. They held their arms all that he can't come out from the airport. And he was just then escorted to through some private way to a small masjid. From that he was sent back to India. And now he's not allowed to enter Bangladesh. Malaysia allowed him also to come. He had a strong hold. Malaysian Jamaat, they send a special fatwa, istifta, to Darul Uloom Deoband. Darul Uloom Deoband had closed the subject. They say we are too much, our work is not only to answer questions of Nizamuddin all the time, we have got a lot of other work also. So, and this is a closed chapter, we have clearly stated what is the status of Maulana Saad, we don't have to repeat over and over. But the Malaysian government asked them for a concession and give us a clear cut what is his status, and they gave it to him. So he's not allowed to go there also. Looks like they want to make their base now in South Africa. And we must be careful and on our guard. If it's a base of goodness, of a deen, then by all means we are heart and soul with it, our lives for it. But for all the wrong, terrible things, which you cannot imagine what wrong things Maulana Saad is speaking about, it is absolutely no way that even a sinful Muslim can support this. A rightful Muslim is out of the question, but a person who is also far from his deen, he also, there is no question of him supporting all this wrong. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh, one of his murids told him what a sad condition of that person who sells his akhirat for dunya's sake. For example, you take interest, you live on interest, you are destroying your akhirat, but dunya you are living it up. You are enjoying in dunya, you are all with the interest and that. And then, Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh, told him, worse than that person is, that person who sells his akhirat for other people's dunya, not for his dunya, for other people's dunya. For example, you make interest halal, and now other people are going to take things on interest and make money on interest, and you destroying your akhirat for other people's dunya. That's even worse. You destroy your own akhirat for your dunya is terrible. And worse than that is you destroy your akhirat for other people's dunya, just to make them happy. And in all these things, whether it is this halal organization, and where they certify the animals or the birds, the chicken as halal, they get a huge sum of money from the companies. For them it's a huge sum of money. For the company it's insignificant. How much on your certificate they making money? If they are making 100,000, they are giving you 1,000. You thinking I'm getting a lot of money, but they what they are making on the strength of that certificate of yours. You legalize interest, and how much money they making on interest from everyone now, all the Muslim people, that your Mufti has given permission, that interest, just call it dividends, call it profits, and now it is halal. So they'll give you a big, big amount. For you it's a big amount. What they are giving you is paltry. It's nothing, not even like salt in the food. Nothing what they are making out of you. That shows our stupidity, how we are being used. And we're destroying our akhirat for the kuffar's dunya. Not only for other Muslim people's dunya, for the kuffar's dunya, we destroying our akhirat. So Allah Ta'ala give us guidance and understanding. And this is a duty, and the ulama of India, Allah reward them. Allah forgive me also. I thought they are silent on many things, but now that we got many conversations, clips of theirs, we see, mashallah, they are very strong and they are standing for the truth, and how beautifully they have explained all these matters. For example, one person who looks, and he is, inshallah, a sincere person. He found one Mufti Sahib and asked him about Maulana Saad, his Imarat, etc. And how beautifully he cross-examined him. And whatever he told in there, he gave the answer to himself. For example, he said that the Amir of the Jamaat, and he compared it to the Amir of the Jamaat of the Sahaba who should go out for jihad. Then Maulana asked him that was, how long ago was that? 1400 years ago, 1200, 1300 years ago, the time of the Sahaba going out in jihad. And how old is your work of Tabligh? 100 years. So you gave your own answer now. That Amir of the Jamaat that went for jihad, and the Amir of this work which started in this century, how can you equate this Amir with that Amir? You have given your own answer. In that way, many things, he made it very, very clear, and there are many such clips. And alhamdulillah, it has added to our conviction even much more. All these, many other discussions also, which make it very, very openly, abundantly clear that Maulana Saad and his group are totally in the wrong path. One other objection also people have, that there are so many ulama on his side. So they can't be wrong. The beautiful answer they gave, Qadiani had so many ulama on his side. So does that make Qadiani right? Maududi had so many ulama on his side. That's that way. Shias have got so much ulama. And in fact, our some ulama advise us, don't simply go into a debate with the Shias. The ilm of mantiq and logic, they are very strong. And unless you are a strong alim, then you can debate with them. Otherwise, they've got their points so strong, it's not easy for everyone to debate with them. So they, not that they've got big ulama on the side, they are big ulama themselves. But hidayat is not in ilm also. Hidayat is not in amal also. Hidayat is solely in the hands of Allah. And when Allah wants to make an exam paper difficult, then Allah will put such big ulama on that side also. And the ulama of the world, they are laughing at such of the ulama, some ulama who are giving advice that you must attend the ijtima there, in spite of Maulana Saad saying wrong things. They say, how can a person say such a thing? And they had a big laugh that he says he's Shaykhul Hadith. They say, what kind of Shaykhul Hadith? Which madrasa and which students is your Shaykhul Hadith who's saying that even if the person is saying wrong things, you must go and listen to him? And and in that is admission that your Amirul Mu'mineen fil Adam is saying wrong things. A person who is saying wrong things can't be a Amir. A slip of the tongue is something else. And something what you are saying, and you repent for it, and you repeat it, and you repent, and you repeat, and you keep on, and you're adding more wrong things. So where can that be ever? And all this also is, this is the normal trend, that Maulana Saad will say something which is totally horrendous, right through against deen in every aspect. Then the people, the public, make a big uproar. What is this that is being said? And the ulama, then they ask the muftis tell them it's wrong what all these things are. It is against deen, against Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. In fact, it is a Jamaat of Dal, who are gone astray. And they are mudil, they are leading other people astray. So it's very dangerous, and it's compulsory to oppose them. In every possible way, you should oppose them. So when Maulana Saad says these things, then an outcry from the public, from the ulama. Then his henchmen, people who are with him, they do damage control. And now they make it, they beautify. They made it, what's a beautiful word in Urdu? Now they take out all things. Like for example, Maulana Saad said that a prostitute's income is better than a alim's income who teaches deen. And Hazrat Abu Bakr took income. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu stopped him, you can't go and do your business. You have to see to the affairs of the... Then they fixed the amount from Baitul Mal for Hazrat Abu Bakr. Hazrat Umar took, everyone took. And now to say that for the work of deen, to take a remuneration is worse than the money that a prostitute takes for her, na'uzubillah, dirty services, that she will enter Jannat first. Now, things like this. Now, how the damage control and that how they beautify the whole thing now. What they say that actually he meant. He said something and the people understood what they understood. And then now they say actually what he meant is give the ulama of your pure money. And don't give them as a wage, give them as hadiah. He never said all those things. Now they say this is what he meant. So he says one thing, people understood what he said, and they say this is now what he meant. This is just like in a house with husband and wife, you tell your wife something, and then when she gets angry, you say, but I meant this. So you must say what you mean. Don't say something else and mean something else. Sometimes you accuse her of bad things, and she feels bad, and you say then, I was just joking. Is that called a joke? That we don't even know what is a joke. You accuse a chaste woman of haram, and then you say, I was joking. So all this type of thing. So all the wrong that Maulana Saad is saying, and all this wrong advice people are giving, that it's a historical event, that it's not one of the four Adillah Sharia, that any event that is historical event, all must support it. And for our country, it's a historical event. No, and it's totally against Deen, against speaking, against the Anbiya, against the Sahaba, against the Awliya, against the Ulama, all these wrong things. It can be what historical event. We have to see whether it is according to Deen or not. And it is everyone's duty that wherever and how much we have got access to make people inform people about this so that people can know. And finally, result is in the hands of Allah. There are those Anbiya who work their whole life and not one follower they had. Noah alayhi salatu wasalam had a following of about 80 people. But there were those ulama, not one follower. But doesn't mean that a Nabi was unsuccessful. He did his work, he was 100% successful. So unsuccessful were those people who did not listen, who did not respond correctly. Yeah, also now, those ulama who do their work, and in their means and capacity, those individuals who will do their work, they will be successful. And those who don't do their work, they will be unsuccessful. And those who don't listen and respond, they will be unsuccessful. On the day of Qiyamah, it's a riwayat of Durr-e Mansur by Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Ali. A person will come who made so much ibadat. Allah will say, all that ibadat you did for yourself, you enjoyed yourself, your ibadat. And Allah will say, what about my right? He will ask, oh Allah, what was your right? Allah Ta'ala will say that you loved somebody for my sake, and that you hated somebody for my sake. And then we have to see whether we have loved somebody only for Allah's sake. We love our lives, but sell our wives. But that is seldom for Allah's sake. It is for our own, our feelings, our desires. Which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when your wife is young, you love her a lot and you do a lot for her. Now when she's old, and especially if she has lost her shape also, and she has lost her looks also, now do you show any love to her? Now show love to her for Allah's sake. Allah gave her to you in marriage, now show love to her for Allah's sake. So for Allah's sake to love somebody, and for Allah's sake to hate somebody. And this we have to think, is there anyone in my life that I've hated, not because he fought with me, because he stole my money, or he did this wrong, but because of for Allah's sake. Have we hated somebody? And those who haven't hated for Allah's sake, they will be deprived of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So it is that we have to love for Allah's sake. People say we must have peace at all costs. And look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we see that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not make any peace accord with the Quraysh with regard to idol worship. But he took a very strong end. And he said, you put the sun in my right hand, the moon in my right hand, I won't stop at my vision. Those people who called him As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, they became his arch enemies. He tolerated all that. They forced him out of Makkah by the pressure they put. He went away from Makkah, he went to Medina Sharif. And those people who then, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, not only did he, what we call, he was a man of peace and tolerance, but he made jihad. And jihad right to the end of his life. And he left jihad, a living thing in the ummah. Al-jihadu ma'vin ila yawmil qiyamah. Jihad will carry on till the day. So the lovers of Allah will fight for Allah, will give their lives for Allah. Even if they have to, they will take lives for Allah. That is the true lover of Allah, who loves for Allah's sake. But there we must be, it must be for Allah, not for our nafs, not our desires. And we must not have contentment on ourselves that I'm all right and I'm on the right. We don't know. Allah says so beautiful, Qul, say to the people, Kullu mutarabbisun, all are waiting. Fatarabbasu, all wait. Fasata'alamuna man ashabu sirati sawi' wa man ihtada. We all will know who was on the right path and who was on the wrong path on the day of Qiyamah. So then we will know for 100%. Yeah, according to our understanding which Allah gave us, we see Quran and Hadith, we see our aslaf and our akabir, we follow in that way with full conviction. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah's Nabi, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. He made Mi'raj, the only one in Allah's creation to meet Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam couldn't go. Musa alayhi salam was only Kalimullah. But when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went and Qab Qawsain, how close to Allah Ta'ala, he says, Ma adri ma yuf'alu bi. I don't know what will Allah do with me on the day of Qiyamah. And I have Nabi, complete conviction, no doubt in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 100% he is the most beloved of Allah. Hisab kitab will start on the day of Qiyamah by the barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa sallam will be lost. Idhab ila ghayri. Nafsi, nafsi, idhab ila ghayri. I'm worried of myself. Go to somewhere. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will sort out the problem for the people. But that humbleness which is necessary, no matter how much you're on haq also, but still be humble. Don't be audacious. Don't be proud. And don't make big claims. Allah knows. So whatever we have been given, clearly we follow that, we stand for that, we will die for that also. But we don't have that proud attitude, that ana wala ghairi, I know everything. That humbleness is very important also. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Okay, guide the ummah, guide Maulana Saad, all his followers, Allah guide them. If they come onto guidance, we will be the first to embrace them. And we will be the first to make their khidmat and be in their service. But it is on the book of Allah, on the deen of Allah, when they come onto righteousness, not for anything else, then we are the most distant from them. And we keep away completely. May Allah guide us all, the whole ummah, to righteousness.